First of Chronicles, chapter 18. After this, this is after God's given him the wonderful promises of having a great son who's going to be Jesus, and God says, I'll build you a house, and it will be a kingdom that lasts forever. After all this, it happened that David struck the Philistines and subdued them and took Gath and its towns out of the hand of the Philistines. Well, Gath, of course, was where Goliath was from. Now, sometimes God gives you a victory when you're young to help you have a victory when you're old, because what happens, or when you're older, what happens is that God works according to a plan and a pattern in our lives. He's got a plan for us and a purpose. He struck Moab, and the Moabites became servants to David and brought tribute. David struck Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as he went to establish his dominion by the river Euphrates, which was, of course, what God had promised, that Abraham's seed would inherit right up to the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 7,000 horsemen, and David hamstrung all the chariot horses. That is, he cut their legs so they could just be used for agriculture and not for war. But he reserved of them enough for 100 chariots. So he took a load of chariot horses, and he used most of them just for agriculture, but he kept 100.
What's agriculture?
Agriculture.
What is it?
Well, like farming. So they could, the horses could plough, they could pull ploughs, for example.
Yeah, but he didn't alter their legs.
Yeah, he hamstrung them. That is, they cut the legs of horses so that they can just walk slowly rather than gallop. So the king of Israel, according to the law of Moses, was not supposed to have chariots and horses. But David thinks, well, okay, so I'll have them, but I'll just use them for ploughing, but I'll keep 100 as chariot horses. He wasn't supposed to have one. So when you allow yourself a bit of weakness and think, ah, yeah, God will be good with this, it leads to more weakness. And when it comes to his son Solomon, well, Solomon had thousands of chariot horses, so many he had to build cities to store them all in. So when you allow a bit of weakness, it leads to more weakness. So, for example, the daddy who might go out and get drunk maybe once a week has a son who becomes an alcoholic who gets drunk every day. It's a simple example. And so we're all weak, of course, but the point is that we should want to give ourselves completely to God and don't have that mentality whereby we think, yeah, this is wrong, but okay, you know, it's just a bit of it kind of thing. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck of the Syrians 22,000 men and put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought tribute. Yahweh gave victory to David wherever he went. David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. From Tibhath and from Kun, cities of Hadadezer, David took very much brass with which Solomon made the bronze laver, the pillars and the vessels of brass. You could take the lesson from that, that what you might pick up in this life by victory, you are to use for God. If, for example, you pass your exams well and, I don't know, you get a good job or career, well, you've got to use that for God and devote it to him. When the king of Hamath heard that David had struck all the army of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, he sent Hadoram, his son, to King David to greet him and to bless him, because he'd fought against Hadadezer and struck him, because Hadadezer had wars with Tel, king of Hamath. And he had with him all kinds of gold, silver, and brass. And King David dedicated these to Yahweh with the silver and the gold that he carried away from all the nations. Well, David had, I think, quite a good attitude to wealth generally, because when he has to make a sacrifice and quickly build an altar, when the plague is about to strike Jerusalem, Araunah, who owned the threshing floor, said, oh, look, quick, you have it. And David said, no, I must pay for it. And Araunah says, no, look, just take it. Take the oxen, take the take the ploughs, use that as wood to make the sacrifice. There you have it. And David said, no, I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. So whatever wealth we have, we are to give it to the Lord. That's David's example. And he says himself about wealth later on, David says, of your own have we given you. So actually, it's not that we're being generous to God. All that we have is his anyway. He put garrisons in Edom. The Edomites became servants to David. Yahweh gave victory to David wherever he went. David reigned over all Israel, and he executed justice and righteousness to all his people. Joab was over the army. Jehoshaphat was the recorder. Zadok and Abimelech were the priests. Shavshal was the scribe. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and the Pelethites. And the sons of David were chief around the king. So those who had followed David in the wilderness years, when he was being persecuted by Saul and when he seemed an absolutely hopeless case to support, now these are the rulers in David's kingdom. And that's what it'll be like for us. To really follow Jesus and support Jesus now might seem a hopeless thing to do. But if we do it now, then we will be the rulers in the kingdom of Jesus when he comes back to the earth, and we will reign forever and ever.